We're in Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read these first couple of verses together. Paul says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness. And then he goes on and he lists some other words. And today we'll just stop on this word gentleness and long-suffering. Last Sunday we looked at the word lowliness, and we emphasized the fact that that is a characteristic that, above all, the example we have was from Jesus Christ himself. And we are called to follow after the example that Jesus Christ gave us. And one of the principal distinctions between the word lowliness and gentleness here is the fact that Jesus Christ, in his attitude and in the way he thought and the way his heart was, he had a proper attitude and self-evaluation. Although he was God, although he was the glorious Savior, Jesus Christ, although Jesus Christ is the creator of all, nevertheless, it says that he gave up his glory in heaven and he came down and he took on the lowest form of creation, humanity, and he became a servant and he died for us. Gentleness speaks a little bit more about our actual, and again, Jesus Christ is an example of this, of his everyday actions with people. It's the way he expressed his self-image. Jesus was gentle with the people that came to him. Jesus treated people with godly love. And so those two words are somewhat related. And today I want us to look a little bit more at this third word here, which is long-suffering. This is also a characteristic of Jesus Christ. This is a characteristic of God. This is how God deals with men. This is how God deals with humanity. And if we understand how God has dealt with us, then it is an example for us on how we are to treat each other and how we are to deal with people that we come in contact with every day. In Galatians, we have a whole list of Christian character attitudes. We call them the fruit of the Spirit. The first, and they're listed in chapter 5 of Galatians. And they begin with love. And love is like the foundation of all the rest of those. And in there we find this word, long-suffering. That is a word that Apostle Paul used several times in his writings, in his different epistles. And it stems from being in God, being in Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ said, abide in me and you will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. So if we want to have these characteristics that Paul is talking about here in verse 2, if we want to walk as Paul is calling us to walk, if we're going to walk the way God demands that we walk in holiness and in worthiness before him, with the heavenly and with the holy calling with which he's called us, then we need to abide and we need to remain in Jesus Christ and in his word. Usually when we think about the word long-suffering, we think of the word patience. And the two words are related to each other, but they're actually quite different. Patience refers to our human capability to endure something maybe that is not pleasant in our life. We say that you can endure, you can bear up under difficult circumstances. Long-suffering is something totally different. This is God's attitude towards men in waiting patiently until we come to a knowledge of him. When we read the epistle of Peter, he says that God, to him, one day is the same as 1,000 years. Now, for us, humans that live 60, 70, 80 years, a day is pretty short and a year's a little bit longer, and 80 years seems like a long time. But to God, youth, you know, we've talked about the fact that God does not live in time. God lives outside of time. God created time when God created the world, and we live in time. And so for God, time is irrelevant. But to us, sometimes we think, why does God wait so long before he punishes somebody for their evil doing. We all agree and we all have an evaluation of certain people. Somebody that is a murderer maybe, or somebody that does something really horrible in society, we're real quick to judge them. And we say, well, that man deserves the death penalty. Remember when we go back to the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve, in the day that you die, in the day that you sin, you will die. But as you know, Adam lived many hundreds of years after that. If most theologians believe that Adam and Eve sinned early on after they were created, we don't know. The Bible does not tell us exactly how long, how many years it was before Adam and Eve sinned. But most theologians think it was fairly soon after his creation. So the reality is that Adam and Eve, Adam particularly, lived well over 900 years before he actually died. And so the question is, why didn't he die in that day? Well, scripturally, we understand that Adam and Eve, they died spiritually that day. And then physically, God was merciful to them and allowed them to live many, many more years physically. And the same way today, many people are born and they live a long life full of evil doing and full of sin and full of things. And Peter says that the reason that God waits so long is because he is long-suffering. That is a characteristic of God. God has the right as our creator. God has the right as the sovereign ruler of the world that knows everything, exists everywhere. God is omniscient and omnipresent and all-powerful, as we talked about several Fridays ago. But in spite of all that, God in his mercy gives mankind a lot of time to come to a knowledge of him. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, we read in chapter 4 that God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love. We all like to be rich, or would like to be rich. We think about people that have a lot of financial wealth. Well, the example here is that God is rich in mercy. And that's kind of related a little bit to what we're talking about. And he's rich in mercy because he loves us with, it says, a great love. Not just any kind of love, but with a great love. And because of that, Jesus has become our peace. He's become our peace because God has waited so long until we come to him. Because we are rebellious and because we arise against God, we are worthy for God to zap us at the very moment that we first sin. And we stop and think about it. David tells us that we were not only born sinful in the day of our birth, on our birthday, but we were sinful before we were even born, while we were yet unborn, while we were yet in our mother's womb. We were already sinful, David says. And so, as far as God's perspective, because mankind is sinful, he should have destroyed us a long time ago. We don't deserve life. We don't deserve anything. And yet God in his mercy, he waits and he gives us opportunity to come to him. And so the question is, how do we react to this? Do we have this same kind of characteristic to those around us? Remember, Peter comes to Jesus one time and he says, you know, my brother, he offended me. He sinned against me. Interestingly, when Peter speaks, He associates what his brother did to him as being a sin. Isn't that interesting that we can easily see what somebody else does? And it's not like he said something to me that offended me, but what he did is sinful. You see, we're quick to evaluate others, okay? But that's not how God looks at us, in spite of the fact that we literally offended God to the point where we killed his son on the cross, and God allowed it, because in the end result is that God wanted to redeem us, okay? And so Peter comes and he asks Jesus, my brother, not only once, but should I forgive him for the seventh time today? So apparently his brother had done something to him six times that day. They really were at it that day. And Jesus said, no, but 70 times 7, 490 times. Those of you that have a calculator, divide 24 hours by 490, and you'll find out that if that was possible, if it was possible for Peter's brother to do something wrong with him and then come and say, "Peter, I'm sorry," and Peter would say, "I forgive you," and then he would offend him again, and then Peter would forgive him again, and do that 490 times, it's literally impossible to fill up a 24-hour day. And yet Jesus says, even if that would happen, you are still called as my disciple to forgive him. And in the very same way, God is merciful and waits and waits and waits. And when we read Peter's text later on, when he writes this, says God does this for one reason and one reason alone, because he does not want anybody to die in their sins. God does not want anyone to perish. And perish means that the person that does not have salvation will spend eternity in the lake of fire, forever separated from God, forever suffering the torments of the lake of fire. And God does not want that. And for that reason, God endures the rebellion of man. God waits while we sin, while we do all these horrible things. And it's not against each other that we do it. It's against God that we do it. Not willing that any should suffer, God waits, inviting mankind to come to himself. And if you come to him today, God offers mercy. God offers his great love to you. And so my prayer today, to those of us, first of all, that are Christians, that this would become a characteristic of our life. That if it is necessary to take half of this word, suffer, for Christ's sake, that we would be long-suffering, that we would have the endurance to the end of our life, to bear whatever is necessary in our life. But also to those that don't know the Lord, we invite you today to come and to be reconciled with God and to have this peace that God offers to you. And so may God bless his word. Amen.